Hey, everybody. Great episode of the morning show today. This show happened the dawn after Bodogos were purchased by the one and only Gordon Gonner, the co-founder of Bored Ape Yacht Club. Maybe you've heard of it. So we discuss him buying a Bodogo and tweeting about it, which was absolutely incredible. We also discuss action in the meme coin side of the NFT space. We talk about Ethereum and why it is lagging behind. We talk about Solana. We talk about AVAX, Optimism, all these different chains, Arbitrum. Really, really interesting show. The show's done in partnership with Shrapnel. We're running a promotion for a free extraction pack right now with Shrapnel. It's a $20 value. If you have a Bodogo, check out the nifty Twitter account. Look at the pinned tweet to get in on this giveaway. Hope you enjoy the show. So, totally normal morning. What's going on? Hey, Clemente, you got coffee over there? What are you doing? Clemente, drink coffee.
Yo, this is an electric start.
Well, it's just it's a completely...
Good to go, baby. Good to go. Got water.
Well, Clemente's Wi-Fi is not working. No, Nick, it's just like such a normal morning. What'd you eat for breakfast this morning, Nick?
Okay, dude, we need to give you a different script. Clemente, give him a different script.
Damn!
There we go! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NFT Morning Show, Monday, December 18th? 18th, and it is the dawn. This is today, right now, is the dawn after the one and only... Actually, well, he's the Bodogo of the day, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, today's...
Bodogo of the first Bodogo of the year.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bodogo of the day today. I'm kicking things off a little bit early. The Bodogo of the day today is a gentleman named Gordon Gonner. Real name Wiley Arano, very well known for creating the popular NFT collection Bored Ape Yacht Club. You may have heard of it before. He's actually, fun fact, this guy, Gordon Gonner, you may not know this, but he's actually a Bodogo now. He actually bought a Bodogo. You probably didn't hear about it, but he bought a Bodogo, which it's like okay news. It's like kind of big news, like a little bit. That happened last night, ladies and gentlemen, and it kicked off the craziest pump and run and, you know, surge of interest on Bodogos. It's been wild.
Jimmy Fallon reached out last night.
Yeah, Paris Hilton's been in my DMs looking to pick up a couple pink ones. It's pretty crazy.
I mean, it was a wild Sunday. I had friends over for like a cooking thing, and literally right after they left, like right after everybody left, I got like five text messages. I was like, who's like all texting me right now? Like, what's going on? And it was just the Gordon Gonner tweet. It was crazy. I had multiple moments last night in my apartment after this happened where I just like let out just visceral like noises with my body. I just literally like bent over like outside of my kitchen, and I just went like, ah, like I just like couldn't physically contain everything that was going on. I hit the sauna. That didn't even like really do anything. In the sauna, I was just, my mind was racing. But yeah, I mean, I'm just over here. I ended up going to a rave. That's why I got these rave sunglasses on. I've been up all night. Just did a bunch of cocaine until like 15 minutes ago, you know? Just kidding about that part. But what's going on, Nick? How you doing, buddy?
Clemente, I said, dude, the script, man. You gotta update that thing.
I haven't even opened the call sheet. I haven't even looked at it.
Well, that's clear. So it's going pretty well.
It's called a victory lap, Nick. I don't know if you've ever been here before, bro, but Gordon Gonner buys my shit all the time. This is pretty crazy stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Forgive me, haven't even opened the call sheet, just had to take a second. But anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to discuss the Yuga Labs co-founder buying his first Solana NFT. I love how that's the first news story. Today, we're going to talk about the pullback in Ethereum NFTs and whether we should be concerned about Ethereum's future. And we're going to discuss what to watch for with less than 2 weeks left in 2023.
I just saw this sponsor read, dude. Are we kidding? All you got to do is post your Bodogo. We're just giving $20 out to everybody that posted. Clemente,
Clemente, his Wi-Fi is not working, so he's not going to really be able to answer you or anything. But anyway, Nick just brought it up.
Seeing him right here, he's fully mobile in the
it's going to be laggy.
I mean, well, it is the script. That's what it says. It's $20 worth of extraction packs just for commenting woof in a picture of your Bodaga.
To celebrate Gordon Goner's entry into the Solana ecosystem, we are running a fun activation for Bodagos. If you own a Bodago and you comment exclamation point woof, okay, so that's exclamation point W-O-O-F. That is the rallying cry of the Bodagos ecosystem, if you are unfamiliar. And also comment a picture of your Bodago in the next 24 hours. Then Shrapnel will give you a light extraction pack. These are worth $20 each. They're going to give it to you for free. This is going to give you early access to their highly anticipated game, their weekly gear drops, and more benefits which haven't been shared yet. I don't know if you heard me say that, but more benefits that haven't been shared yet. So if you want to buy a higher tiered pack, which gives you even more benefits, go to the nifty.com/shrapnel and use promo code Nifty, N-I-F-T-Y, for 30% off. So that's thenifty.com, thenifty.com/shrapnel, S-H-R-A-P-N-E-L. Use the code Nifty for 30% off, N-I-F-T-Y. Let's get this show cooking. We got a lot to talk about. Signal's back on video for the first time in a while. Welcome back, Sig. Hit this weather report, por favor.
Monday, December the 18th, everyone. Let's look at that market volume. We're coming in with the ETH market volume at 18.5 million. Blur, close to 14. OpenSea down at 4.1. And Solana holding steady at 9.3. If we look at the market leaders on the ETH side, Pudgy Penguins, Apes, D-Gods, Azuki, Captains all down. Ouch, in about 10% in the last 7 days. Volume is slowing down on the ETH side. But if you look over on Solana and Ordinals, it is hot over there. You got Bitcoin frogs, just they're not stopping. They've hit an all-time new high. They're now at 0.45 BTC before pulling slightly back to 0.35. Those have absolutely cooked. Ordinal Maxis, exactly the same. They've also hit 0.64 BTC. They're cooking as well. And Bodagos are up 100% to 15 SOL. Over the weekend, the four major stories. Well, first of all, there were two exploits on ETH. The first was with NFT Trader. That unfortunately resulted in millions of dollars worth of apes being lost from users that still had their permissions allowed on the platform. And then Flooring Protocol was also exploited, and five golden Pudgy Penguins were stolen along with several apes. Free Lunch Capital have offered various bounties for those assets to be returned, but we've had no response from the hackers yet. Looking over at crypto, most of the leaders saw bleeding on Sunday, with Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana all down about 2-5%. AVAX also down about 10% to $38, while other tokens also following suit. Onto probably the most unpredictable part of this year, phone flipping, but now the sold out Solana Saga phone has seen consistent resales on eBay for more than $2,500, with the phone's claimable Bonk also having a soulbound token, and future airdrops have been confirmed. So looking at the price point of the phone, $600 compared to those future airdrops, that is why they're being flipped on eBay. The phone has also seen, is also being seen as a collectible with only 20,000 supply, hence why we've had the sellout, and many are expecting more value over time. And then lastly, it's over to the Bodagos, as Gordon Garner has bought his very first Solana NFT. As a result, the Bodagos, they pumped 2x overnight, now up to 15.5 SOL. And three of the one of ones have also been selling, including a Kodiak for 150 SOL, Frostbite for 200, and Celestio for 288 SOL. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you, folks.
A Cowboy Pepe just sold for like 160, which is crazy because that's near the price of the first one of one sale that came in last night. Real quick, we're going to run through these Daily Digest updates, and then we're just talking about this whole Bodagos thing for real. Daily Digest posted to X every morning. It's pinned up top. It's available by email to anyone that subscribes at thenifty.com. Portal Coin received $12 million in presale. Can't say I'm terribly surprised at that. A lot of people were interested in Portal Coin. Arbitrum chain goes down for 78 minutes after a surge due to inscriptions. Wild. wild stuff. Sotheby's announced the next group of curated artists, Snowfro, Emily G, Matt Cain, and more. MapleStory, if you remember that video game, announced a $100 million fundraise. Damn, that's crazy. Overworld announces various rewards to whitelisted users that were unable to mint their Portal coin. Chat, we could have lumped that in with the Portal coin story. Bitcoin Frogs reaches a new all-time high of 0.35 Bitcoin, $14,000, flipping Azuki. It's now one of the most expensive NFT projects across all blockchains. Pretty crazy stuff. And last story, D-God's 2.6 Ethereum floor and Ute's 0.43 Ethereum floor are now at their lowest floor prices since they bridged from Solana. Those are your stories from the Nifty Daily Digest. You can subscribe at thenifty.com. All right, gentlemen and Signal, what's the story here? I mean, last night, Gordon Gonner bought a balloon background and Pepe, or balloon trait and Pepe trait Bodago. One of the funniest things is our videographer, Ali Jassim, that came with us to Amsterdam. He tweeted out after this. He was like, my energy right now, or my vibe now that Gordon Gonner bought a balloon background Bodago. And it was just the meme that was like, yesterday's price is not today's price. I don't know what it was about that struck me as so funny. I just started like cracking up by myself on my couch, because it's like, I'm just picturing him being like, oh shit, you know, like it's a balloon background.
He's an energetic guy too. So like for him, he's probably sitting there just gassed, like absolutely hyped. Dude, it was surreal. Like, I was on a Discord call with some friends when it happened, and I just remember I saw the Gordon follow first, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I saw the Garga follow, and I was like, oh, weird.
Gargamel followed you?
Yeah, both of them did. And then I went to Gordon's page, and I was like, oh, is this like a scam page? Like, there's no way. I was like, there's no way this is real. And then I scrolled down, and the very first tweet I saw was him buying the dog. And I was just like, wait. Like, just pure shock. Like, I was like, there's no fucking way. Like, this is like such a surreal moment.
It's the, I mean, there's an announcement we got coming up about Yuga. We're hosting a space right after this about, you heard it here first.
Yuga rumors.
Fire Bodagos. My sources are telling me, I haven't had a conversation with them organizationally at all. I run the organization, but I'm hearing from sources. I was tipped off by someone similar to the people that have tipped us off on previous
Yuga-related acquisition rumors.
Yuga-related acquisition rumors. It sounds like that they may be in the process of an acquisition, one of the biggest ever, of Bodagos. Next thing you know, we're going to have a balloon in the Macy's Day Parade. Okay, so that's what's coming up next. You know, I'll be holding that balloon at the front. You know, I'm just gonna be carrying it. Hold on, even if it's aggressive wind, I don't give a shit. The show must go on. I'm gonna be holding that, carrying that Macy's Day balloon down the street. We're also
Blate said that Yuga's still working on closing the Cool Cats deal first, so pump the brakes, Nick.
Okay, Blue Woods. That's the technicality. Blue Woods also said a mobile game's inbound. I didn't say it. You know, I didn't say it. But that is something that I've been hearing as well.
Who's like the biggest mobile game developer? Because I'm hearing rumors that whoever the biggest mobile game developer one is, they're working with Bodagos on a game.
Nintendo is building. That's
Nintendo.
I read that in a gaming magazine last
night. Yeah, I heard Nintendogs is coming back, the iconic game. I just saying, I heard it might be coming back. There's no affiliation, but that's just something I heard.
They're Halo. I watched Super Mario Brothers last night. The movie.
Really good movie.
It was a great movie. Just as a source of inspiration, because I felt the vibe of that partnership being closed, and I saw that movie inevitably coming. So we heard that as well. Look, it's been an exciting 12 hours. Okay, so a lot of information. Our newsroom is getting a lot of rumors coming through. So I can't verify any of them, because we haven't had any of these conversations with the organizations that we're hearing those rumors about. But that's what we're seeing. What were you going to say, Pio? And then I got.
I was going to just point out Zane Gaziani, who's always really close to the rumor mills because the guy's connected, said that he heard Bodogos are going to be playable in Mario Kart. I mean, I didn't say that. Zane Gaziani said that. I didn't say that.
You just like saying the last name. So yeah. The other thing I was going to say is we are giving away. So we're overhauling. We're overhauling the raffle system. We're going to give away one of the Bored Ape Kennel Clubs to a Bodogos holder. In order to win it, it's going to be via a raffle. So you should have, if you've bought a Bodogo or you have a portal because you earn that earn bones as well, you can participate in that raffle on the site at thenifty.com. You should go to the site, connect your wallet, and we'll be doing that raffle. My guess is this week. And then there's another raffle. Do we want to talk about the other stuff that we're going to be rolling out?
No.
Yeah. I'm down to talk about it, but I don't want to put a hard date on it.
I'm down. Well, the only blocker right now is the shipping. To be completely honest, I was thinking about this, CZ. I'm not going to make the announcement, but let's talk this out real quick in public. Cause this is what I've been thinking about. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes and we're not bringing the audience on that journey, basically. Okay. And some of these are like small things. And so what we're used to, like it's just tiny stuff, but we don't have a conversation about those particular things. And instead it builds up like there's this anticipation of some massive milestone that's about to occur. And, I don't like that anticipation in the same way that it's like, D-Gods or Pudgy aiming for this moment where we're going to have this grand release and all the Bodogos are going to be like, holy shit, I can't believe it. That like, and I'm working towards that moment. I'm like, what, like it, internally, I'm preparing.
Well, that moment was last night. So
that was one of those moments. But we didn't like set that up. We weren't preparing for that.
We set it up. I mean,
somebody
come
asked
on.
How much we paid Gordon Gonner to buy a dog. I literally got a DM and I was like, dude, we had no idea he was doing that. And they just sent me two wink emojis back. I was like, dude,
let's be real, everybody. We paid him $100. Okay. You can buy this guy, Wiley Arano. This guy is bought and sold more than anybody else in the space. You Venmo that guy $50. He's like, what am I buying? Let's talk about it. It's $50 a tweet from Gordon Gonner, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that hard to get Gordon Gonner to tweet about your thing. Send him $50. It's locked in. No, but like, look, what Nick's talking about, I'm really big on like not doing like big anticipated shit. And obviously last night was like, we didn't see that coming. But yeah, Nick, you can continue. I feel like you wanted to get more.
I don't want to diminish expectations, but like the main thing is the big intention is one which has nothing to do with what the product is, the first product that we release, which is the format of what we're doing, what we were rolling out. There's a couple of things that we've been trying to navigate basically. People have seen some of the products on the timeline. They haven't seen everything that we've rolled out, but I feel like the context for what it is the reason that I was like, hey, there's no moment like tomorrow or the day that like the goal was tomorrow to roll out the product, but there's no moment where like the only information that's interesting there is the price to me is the biggest part of that announcement. Correct me if I'm wrong. You think easy. Like, is there some other major thing at the moment that you think would be worthwhile?
I don't. I mean, the big thing for me is just like, we talk about like not having this grandiose rollout of like speculation. And to me, it's almost just like, don't say anything and just roll it out. Like you just don't even pre-announce it. You're just like, by the way, this is live. Bow.
The difference is to actually like, you know, have it be like going like this. Like that's the thing is it hasn't been going like that, you know? So anyway,
also, go ahead. Nick, I kind of feel like you're one of those people that you tell them a secret and you're like, yeah, I won't tell anyone. And then you're just dying to tell everyone the secret. So I'm like, you know, like basically Nick is a guy you don't tell a surprise party to. Like, don't tell someone that we're throwing them a surprise party.
It's not like Easy or Pio came over and was like, yo, you're going to be surprised by what's going to happen tomorrow. We've been working together on this. Like, it's not a grand scheme. I won't do it today. We can do it tomorrow. We'll just let this particular thing run. The bottom line is, it's stepwise. It's not one grand reveal at the first
thing. Yeah.
It's one step at a time. That's our approach to everything, and it's progressive. And the reason I was saying this is I kind of want, like, part of me wants to, like, give more visibility to the people who are in the community and paying attention to our podcast, because let's face it, the number of people that are going to listen to the podcast, the smallest number is the people that own our NFTs. The next biggest number is the people who listen to the show each week. And then the next biggest show is the people that listen to the show, you know, maybe once a month or something like that. But our loyal listeners beyond that are people who see our video content, who see us on Twitter and see some of these other places. They're not listening to the show every day, which is why part of me wants to give visibility to the people who are listening to the show, because they're always going to be our, like, one of our most small, like, they're the second smallest group that we have, basically. And I feel like bringing you all on the journey, audience, is something that feels like I've been just feeling more lately, to be like, I don't want to hide stuff from them. I want instead all of us to, like, just win on this journey. For example, my dog with half trade, just another going to land as one of the most iconic trades.
I love that meme. I hold none, but dude, it's just a dog with hat. And they wrote an article about it on some guy who turned 10K to 160. And he has the best quote I've ever heard, by the way. At the very end of the article, they're like, so how come you weren't, like, selling it at any point? And the guy just goes, honestly, I think it's because I'm an idiot. And I was like, that was, like, the best line I've ever heard. He was just like, yeah, I really have nothing to say. I just think I'm an idiot. And I was like, damn, that sums up meme coin trading elegantly.
Whiff is going well. Although, real quick, before we
really dive, I want to dive into all of this. It's saying that OXBT ripped over the weekend. I think it's very interesting to talk about the trading stuff.
Holy shit, let's go.
Just to close the book on things that we're talking about with Bodagos, because this is my actual analysis of what happened. So, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people were talking about the hacks that happened, right? There was a hack over the weekend. I think it was over the weekend. It feels like it was over the weekend. First, a hack that happened where revoke.cash was compromised, and is the platform called NFT Trader was compromised. Yeah, NFT Am I correct? Trader.
Yes.
So I'd used, obviously, revoke.cash before. I had never used NFT Trader. What kind of a platform is NFT Trader, Easy?
It's a peer-to-peer exchange. So it's where you can, like, trade assets from one person to another.
Was that the one that was recommended by Yuga?
It's the one that everyone used to use before OpenSea came out with being able to sell to a specific private wallet. So everyone used to use it.
And also trade on OpenSea. OpenSea now lets trading for assets. So this was like, I could send you 5 cool cats for your mutant ape, for example.
Well, okay. The thing that happened, I actually used this to sell. You could set up the trade that you wanted. So that's how I sold my first ape, was actually using, I believe this tool, because Yuga used to say the only tools that we support are, and I think this was one of them, which is why they also felt an incentive to really help the community associated with it. That said, that was an ApeCoin funded service, the security service that ended up buying back a lot of these at a discount. That was all funded by the ApeCoin DAO previously. So the way the community rallied around it was pretty awesome. But I think NFT Trader, was the service that they used to recommend. I could be completely wrong though. I need to go, look, but,
regardless, there was a hack with NFT Trader, right? Then 2 days later, even though revoke.cash had just been hacked, everyone's like, you got to use revoke.cash right now because nothing's safe, and Flooring Protocol. Right. Flooring Protocol ended up having a hack, and that happened like 2 days later. So this is like a lot of hack related action. A lot of Pudgy Penguins were stolen. A lot of Bored Apes were stolen. Bunny had a really funny tweet where he's like, people always comment about how a lot of Bored Apes got stolen. It's because people want Bored Apes. Right. So it's like his insight was correct on that. So then you see a lot of people tweeting, whatever you're doing right now, you gotta go and you gotta move these assets into a cold wallet. You gotta, like, you know, take your security seriously. And what I think happened is a lot of people went to move their assets, right? And they saw the gas fees And I think the gas fees, when people were unstaking NFTs, the gas fees, when people were moving NFTs, they were at least $10, probably $20. I mean, how much is a gas fee right now to move an Ethereum NFT? There's no way it's less than $5. I'll tell you that. It's at least $10. And I think a lot of people were like, am I really still just paying gas fees? Like, you know, think about it. Somebody might have not had enough ETH in their wallet, had to move ETH into the wallet just to move an asset or something like that, right? You go to Solana and the transaction fees are less than 1 cent. Then Gordon Gonner comes through. He buys his first Solana NFT. It's a Bodago. I think a lot of people then were like, well, I want to figure out this, you know, this, that like sort of validated the Solana side of things for them in a way that maybe put icing on the cake, because obviously D's, Farouk, Luke, a lot of people have been talking about Solana NFTs. A lot of people have been talking about the Solana ecosystem. You saw the price appreciation. That always gets people's attention, the 5X that Solana did. I think the Gordon Gonner was like kind of the icing on the cake. And then once people use Phantom Wallet, dude, if you go use like, if you move NFTs around natively in MetaMask and then you natively move NFTs around in Phantom, there's just frankly a big difference. Obviously, I used MetaMask for a long time. I consider MetaMask to be like a pioneer in the space. I'm not trying to throw shade at MetaMask, but the user interface and the usability of Phantom is fire. I know that we are partners with them, but go move NFTs in wallet around in MetaMask, then in Phantom. And pair that with the difference in fees between ETH and Solana, and you're just going to have a superior user experience. And so I feel like this is going to just keep going, man. I think that Solana is going to become, if it isn't already, just the standout head and shoulders top chain for traditional NFT trading. I just think so.
You know, Pio, I think it was last week when we had, the first hack. I remember reading in Discord when the advice online was to do nothing, and people in Discord were like, do I do something or do I do nothing? Most people I saw said, I can't be bothered to move my assets because it will cost so much to do so. And like, you know, the risk is you end up losing an asset worth way more than the gas, but the friction that it's so expensive to do, and it might not even be the answer to the solution of the hack, most people just left it. So I'm 100% on the same page as you that the gas fees are a huge deterrent to people actually taking action unless their assets have been stolen right in front of their face.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, it looks like you wanted to get something across, get something off your chest, but we also have NFT stats on stage. So Nick, and then we'll throw to stats. Go ahead, Nick.
Yo, your boy NFT stats can wait, okay? I'm sorry.
Sam.
Did we need to disclaim that to, in order for me to just say something? I didn't realize that was where you were going with the statement. It was the transition there. I didn't realize we were just talking about Solana being the main transition. I actually think, I mean, I tweeted this weekend. I said, Solana is to Ethereum as apes were to CryptoPunks, basically. And what I just mean by that is there was like this sort of like pre-existing, like group of people that had this like, view of the world, essentially. Now, at this point, apes have not, or punks have now flipped apes once again. So it's not exactly like, the same thing. But I think just in terms of overall vibe, there's a lot of people that want to participate in the NFT ecosystem and there's a lot of people that want to have fun. So, and trading NFTs is kind of a fun thing. And so when the cost and the friction is incredibly high and going on ETH, when you like go on to ETH and you lose money out the gate, I remember signing up for like, what's the competitor to, OpenSea? Rarible. When it was Rarible and OpenSea for a moment, I was like, well, Rarible has a nicer website. And I remember signing up and I think with OpenSea and just paying a bunch of fees to like literally just to sign up to the site. It costs like 25, 50 bucks. And if you've never traded things before, it was like this ridiculous process. They don't have it anymore. In terms of how that happens, but it ended up costing money in order to participate. And I just remember being like, holy shit. And then getting like $400 stolen. It's just a bad experience. That said, scams do exist on Solana, to be clear. And they're still widespread. And it just happens that because things are so fast, it actually is almost easier potentially to get scammed. That said, the wallets are more proactive, I think, about sort of trying to clarify some of those things. But I mean, I haven't run into this recently, but it was easy when it was like mint and flip season in 2021 and early 2022. I feel like your approach to security with Solana was just setting up a bunch of like different wallets, right?
And like, or different browsers. Like, that's the other thing is like, I had one browser that never connected to anything, which was just sending to and from essentially. Yeah. So like, what I actually mean by that is like, you could just send stuff to that wallet, like almost like a cold wallet where it never actually connected to any dApps and was just on its own browser, which like in a sense never had any approvals, never did anything. So it was still technically cold because it was never connected to anything. So that let me then create burners on a hot like web page instead, where my Phantom one browser was just for minting and active trading, and anything I needed to move that I needed to just store securely because it was so cheap to move stuff around, I just tucked it away into another web browser versus like having to pull the ledger out and do all these other steps. Totally separate seed phrase, etc. So like that seed phrase was only to a cold Phantom wallet on a browser that never interacted with anything. Like that wallet had never even connected to Magic Eden or any marketplace. It was simply only for sending and receiving assets, whether it was SOL or NFTs.
I mean, there's a lot of security procedures that still need to exist in the process of participating in this system, which means that like we're still not in it, like we're not in a perfect world. There's the conversation going on as well about our AVAX being sort of like essentially botted right now with these inscriptions.
AVAX gas was higher than ETH gas at one point yesterday, which is like absurd. Like that was the first time it's ever happened, and it was because the network was so congested with inscriptions and how much the transaction cost was.
So it just shows like even the fast stuff at this point in time has its own flaws. That said, we're, you know, Phantom's already gone through a process where they ran into scaling issues, had to adjust for it. And, the same thing is going on at this point with a lot of the other, L1s, including AVAX, which is just an EVM compatible L1. But, it's just exciting the amount of volume that's going on the inscription side. I don't understand exactly what's going on there because I see way less of it on my timeline and I see way more of it on like, on these leaderboards. And so that's the thing that I'm a little bit confused about is like, are people actually trading this or is it just spam? So that's like, another thing I'm confused. Like it is the Bitcoin community all of a sudden just literally flip it, like trading all of these BRC20s.
There's a lot to discuss on the Bitcoin side. Honestly, the fraction or I don't even know the division on the Bitcoin side is quite frankly not even worth discussing. But it is very interesting that Bitcoiners are trading shitcoins on Bitcoin right now and that Bitcoin activity is spiking in a huge, huge, huge way. And that there's a tremendous amount of interest in developing on Bitcoin now and OG laser-eyed toxic maximalist people have a divide where some of them are saying, this is good for Bitcoin because it's incentivizing us to finally make a properly usable L2, which is a really big deal.
Which is actually the conclusion there because I saw a floor sweep on Trevor posted about a floor sweep of some OG project last night. I went to Magic Eden. I look at it 3 hours later. The sweep is still pending. So like Magic Eden just has like
that's a Bitcoin sweep, baby.
A circle going. And I think that I thought I was like, this is funny. Like this is hilarious that this is the place that it's at. And it just shows, damn, like there's a reason that like Solana is having its day right now is because it's you just can't, to your point, PO, it's just like ETH is more efficient than Bitcoin when it comes to those things. And, but Solana is better than ETH when it comes, to trading a lot of these things. There's a lot of flaws on the technical side with Solana as well, but I don't want to ramble about it. The bottom line, like Easy and I discussed it on the transaction volume stuff is kind of a misleading stat because every transaction on Solana has like 20, 30, 40, 50 or more sub transactions that are nested within it, which are all instructions to the computer. So it's at the most of base layers as you could get. The same way when you like move your mouse, your computer is processing thousands of transactions within that, like within that moment. But like you don't see it, but on Solana, that's where all of those instructions are all within there. So it's a little bit misleading and it makes it, the complexity is still relatively high to get your head around when it comes to Solana's infrastructure.
Real quick, I don't want to be make this like a dunking on ETH thing, but I saw a tweet that was like a very well-written tweet that kind of encapsulated the way that I've thought about ETH recently, which is that they pointed out if you're going to go for the pure play store of value angle, then obviously you're going to go Bitcoin, right? The kind of, you know, it's designed to be that sort of digital gold. It, you're not dependent on like some foundation to code it in a way that makes it better or something like that, right? Obviously, there's going to be development on Bitcoin, but traditional Bitcoin just kind of works. And then if you're going to go for the high frequency transaction angle, then why wouldn't you go with a Solana? And people saying, oh, well, we'll build L2s on ETH. It's like, yeah, cool, but there isn't a massively, you know, widespread use of a given L2 on ETH in the same way that there is Solana. So why wouldn't you just do Solana?
Well, what you just said is also why even use the L2 on Bitcoin? Why not use Bitcoin just for literally like Bitcoin and some expensive art pieces or something like that?
Sure. But the thing about Bitcoin is that it's like, it's the thing. So if you're going to like build an L2, why not build it on like the God chain? You know, I know I'm going to catch like a lot of flack from like people that
I see what you're saying there. I mean, it does make sense. That said, that chain was not designed for programmatic infrastructure, but the L2 on Bitcoin, if it's programmable, is actually quite an interesting point there.
Oh, I was going to say, let's get Muneeb. You know, let's get Muneeb's ass on this show and you know, hear like, cause he's like, literally Muneeb's trying to not be too early on shit. You know what I mean? Like literally Muneeb's been so early on everything. He had to stop being so early because he was burning money trying to build things 6 years before they could come out.
I just want to say you just were disrespectful to Sam, dude. I finished my statement and you're selling like, I got to get my point across before Sam speaks. Dude, that was just rude.
Sammy boy, NFT statistics. Sam, absolute legend, has a pink hair crypto punk among other grail NFTs. Sam, just commands respect from the broader NFT, Ethereum, and crypto community. Sam, welcome to the show.
Damn, talking about an introduction. What is up, dude? How's it going?
I mean, it's going pretty well, Sam. The past 12 hours are going pretty good. What's going on with you?
It's crazy. No, things are good, dude. This weekend was legitimately nuts. It was legitimately nuts. It was kind of wild.
I mean, yeah. So you've been covering the hacks. What inspired you to come on stage?
You're just talking about it, so I raised my hand and you called me up. So I figured, you know, if there are things that were discussed, I'd just jump on. Because I'm sitting here in a hotel room in LA. I woke up at 2 a.m. because I'm jet lagged. And I've just been sitting here working, and I figured I'd come up on stage. You know, one of the things I'd say is like, on my feed after those hacks, all these pudgy penguins started coming into my comments and saying, why is it always the apes that get stolen? Why is it always the apes? And kind of like dunking on the apes. And then literally that night, a bunch of pudgy penguins got stolen. And I think a lot of it is because, you know, it's exactly what Bunny was saying. It's that people go after the expensive stuff. You know, back in the day on NFT Trader, people were trading these things for like the only time you'd go to NFT Trader is if it was so expensive that like trading that paying royalties and playing platform fees was just detrimental, you know? So it was the $400,000 trades that people arranged ahead of time. Like those were the types of trades that got that happened on NFT Trader. And this was like the platform to trust with like your most expensive assets. And they went multiple years without having any issues, you know, but I just thought it was so funny, not funny, because I never find hacks funny. I never victim blame ever. But I thought it was interesting that in my comments, all these penguins were like dunking on Bored Apes and saying it never happens with penguins. And then literally 12 hours later, a bunch of penguins got stolen. Why did penguins get stolen? Because the hacker went on to Flooring Protocol and said, I got a bunch of apes and I got to get the second best thing, which is penguins. It's like you become a victim of your own success, you know? So I think like yes, I think they aren't happening on Solana, but as time goes on, like, you just can't bank on that, you know? And as things get more expensive there, like, the hackers will find ways to make us give them our shit. Like, that is something that I think time has proven in this space, especially with things like NFTs. So, you know, the MetaMask is very vocal now. If you go on a Blur and you, like, give permissions, they're like, you realize you are signing away your everything to do this. The problem is, it's what you got to do to participate in those ecosystems and all these NFT 5 protocols. So, I don't know, kind of interesting stuff.
I mean, definitely interesting stuff. Loopify had a tweet that was like, retail is just still not, this space still isn't ready for retail, because we had the Revoke.cash hack on Thursday where it was like, do not under any circumstances connect to Revoke.cash, just don't. And then 2 days later, it was like, so Revoke.cash is okay now, and you actually need to connect to it because you know, there's been a hack and things like that. I mean, look, Stats, you've been posting about the Bodago's action with charts, which we think is super cool, over the past 12 hours, those one of one sales. Is there anything particularly interesting when you've looked at your data and your analytics, whether it's about Bodago's or anything else from over the weekend, that you think is worth mentioning?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I just want to add on, when people say we're not ready for retail, I'm not sure we're ready for ourselves. Like, something like 3-4% in 2022, something like 3-4% of like Azuki's Mutant Apes, like some crazy number of the ones traded actually got stolen. Like, imagine any other world where you're dealing with $10,000 assets and you have a 1 out of 35 chance of it getting stolen.
That's crazy.
It is nuts, the amount that things were getting stolen last year. And I think now it's like less exciting. Like, there's just not as much stuff going on with the high value stuff as there was last year. So there's less of it. But to your question, one thing I tweeted was looking at wallets. Like, one of the things that blows me away about ETH is that there's been no wallet growth for 26 weeks. Like, we are in a massive, people say wait for the bull. Like, we are in a bull market right now. I mean, it's been a little bit weak over the weekend. And things have gone down, but we've been in a bull market for a little bit. And the number of unique wallets buying ETH NFTs has basically not budged for 26 weeks. So I put up a chart of that, comparing that with Solana. Solana, unique wallets buying Solana NFTs are up 4x over the past month, up to about 10,000. Up to about 50,000 per week. SOL is still around 20,000. So I tweeted this 2 hours ago, but the SOL number of unique wallets buying NFTs is higher than unique wallets buying ETH NFTs going all the way back to about March of this year. So I think, like, you know, this is something everybody knows. You know, everyone's posting about Mad Lads, everyone's posting about Tensorians and the phone. Like, there's no, but I thought it was interesting validation in this chart to really see how always ETH has had more buying wallets. And for the first time ever, that's completely flipped. And now SOL is like at 2x the buying wallets per week of ETH NFTs. And I think there is something about the current ETH ecosystem, the current ETH environment, like very farmer heavy, very whale heavy, people dumping massive amounts. You know, stuff's gone down. Last year was a big hype year, and this year's a little bit of a fall off from that, where the product market fit isn't working that well. And I think you see that in the chart. I think otherwise, you know, a rising tide should lift all ships, and like unique buyer wallets on NFTs haven't even budged on the ETH side.
I think the unique wallets is key. The other thing I was going to say in terms of being ready, I saw Beanie make a tweet about, Beanie's doing a lot of tweeting, which is not even like contrarian stuff at this moment in time. The side that I was thinking about is what he was referring to after that Ledger hack. There was kind of a lot of conversation going on about it, in the sense that, like, most people are better off. He was like, contrary position, most people are better off just keeping their money on the exchange, which is honestly true. And
if that exchange is Coinbase, yeah.
You know, well, I just agree with you for a long time. I'm the type of person where the one thing I've learned in life, the one person I've learned to stop trusting, is myself. If I lose a password, you know, Chase Bank will send it to me immediately. Anybody will send it back to me. If I lose my boarding pass, United will print me a new one. Like, I've just learned, like, this world treats you to not trust yourself. And then you get into these situations here where you make a mistake and suddenly you've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, I used to be of that view that for me, and this isn't for everybody, I lose stuff. That's my personality. Like, I've been doing it since I was 2 years old. Like, for me, an exchange is better than the risk I have of losing things or getting my seed phrases mixed up. And then FTX changed that view for me. FTX did hurt my, I mean, you know, one out of like eight of the big exchanges lost everything, you know, so
pretty wild.
That made me a little bit more hesitant, but I do have stuff on Coinbase and I go to bed not that worried about it.
Other thing I was going to say, the extension of that statement was not just about trading crypto. I feel like where they've really fumbled the bag is on the NFT side of things, and no exchanges at this moment in time. A lot of them have attempted to create marketplaces, but what they're attempting to do is recreate what already exists out there. They're looking at Magic Eating. They're looking at Tensor. They're looking at OpenSea. They're looking at all these different places, and they're trying to recreate it. So like Coinbase, when they went and created a marketplace, it was a complete fumble and a complete train wreck because it felt more like they were trying to recreate Foundation, for example. Which was not the move. They were trying to instead become relevant inside of like the art space, for example, rather than operate where they've always excelled. And that's with when you look at the market making stuff, when you go into the pro view of Gemini, when you look at the pro view of Coinbase, it's all about trading. And so they could easily list some of those top NFTs to operate like tokens. And that would be a huge liquidity moment for this space. Nobody has still actually managed to do that. And instead, what's happened is we've seen various wallet solutions that enable institutions to go like still do some of these trades. But you have to go invest in Spencer, for example, is the best way that institutions can go and get access to this space. Is go and find someone like
give Spencer money.
literally go to Spencer Ventures in order to operate in this space, which is crazy because I think that there is what we're seeing with the whole meme coin side of things is the crypto space has fully embraced meme coins, right? And from that standpoint, traditional finance is like thumbs their nose at meme coins and all this other stuff. And they're even still hesitant on a lot of the crypto stuff. They'll ask you, they're like, well, isn't it still dead? Like, isn't all this, they ask you all these different questions about it. It's because the friction for them to participate in the space is still so high. Right now, when I thought Coinbase was going to enter the space and my thesis on NFTs at that time, when I first saw NFTs, I was like, wait till Coinbase cracks the nut on this thing, basically. They still haven't done it. And instead, it feels like they've given up basically wholesale on the NFT side of things. And what it should really be is the same way. Why is it so easy for a meme coin to be made and listed on Coinbase, yet we can't get an NFT that has a reputation associated with it?
Like a Bored Ape.
Iconic, exactly. And have that listed on Coinbase. And that's the thing to me that's absolutely bonkers with this whole space. Is that none of the exchanges give you that same sort of liquidity, ease of use, and trust that all these other places that they did with all these tokens. And I think the biggest assumption is the biggest problem. There's only 10,000 apes, but there's 1 billion tokens of some of these other things. So they can get a liquidity pool going within their own system. That to me feels like the main reason that that's actually happening. But on the lower last statement on this, and we can move, and I'm curious what you say, Pia. I've run into issues, for example, on Gemini, where I go to buy a token. There's some token that someone mentions on Twitter, and it's quote listed on Gemini. But when I go to place the order, because I'm like, oh, I'll buy $10,000 of it, it says you can't buy that. You can only buy $2,500 of it, and it's a similar thing that I think would happen with NFTs. So what were you going to say?
Well, Gemini is a janky ass exchange. That's number one.
That bad.
It wasn't before, but the Winklevoss twins basically said
all that happened was Earn messed up. I don't feel that Gemini has gotten worse as a product.
The fact that they haven't filled that gap to me when other exchanges like Paxos that got affected by the by the FTX debacle, just stepped in and have immediately made their customers whole. And the Winklevoss twins are acting like spoiled billionaire brats, which, I mean, on paper, they kind of seem like they might be. I mean, I've seen the Facebook movie. They literally are like, Barry Silbert did this. Dude, it's been over a year, bro. Like, make people whole with the money. Everybody abandoned Gemini. Quite frankly, I think it's viewed as like a bit of a joke exchange at this point compared to a Coinbase. What? I really don't.
Where our business has assets on Gemini. I don't.
Well, we don't have them on Gemini.
There is money on Gemini. Well,
we're going to take it off. We'll take it off. But we shouldn't have any money on exchanges. Period. But that's specifically talking about Gemini on the Coinbase front. And we talked about this with DC Investor when he came on the show. DC Investor, who's like a big Coinbase guy. I'm also a big Coinbase guy. I have a bunch of Coinbase stock. Talked about how undisciplined Coinbase was with their NFT marketplace thing that they spent. I think the rumor, the word on the street is nine figures on like $100 million to try to develop that NFT marketplace. And obviously it just flat out, you know, was not relevant. This was during peak NFT hype where everybody and their mother was trying to get in on this kind of like NFT run and really not doing it the right way. And then what do you see? You see a platform like Blur launch by a young kid, you know, MIT dropout, high school dropout, started working in San Francisco as a software engineer at 17. I'm talking about Pac-Man, of course. And he launches that during the bear market. And people say it's, you know, people were saying it's bad for the space, but really just the space, like the, when you look at the chart of bear markets of previous crypto cycles, the reality is a bear market means the chart goes down. And so no matter what, when the chart's going down, you're not going to be able to make money, and you can get mad at Blur about it because you bought something on Blur and then the price went down. But the reality is if the whole market's going down, the price is going to go down. Now that the prices are going up, Blur's awesome. Blur is like a great, great platform. It's got a good user interface. It gives good liquidity for your NFTs. It's pretty dope. And now he's making Blast and all this other stuff. He made Blend, all this stuff. Anyway, the point I'm making is, I wouldn't be surprised if Coinbase comes back to NFTs, but does it in a significantly more disciplined way with a forever mindset. I've been talking about this a lot. The forever mindset versus the chase a trend mindset. And I'm not going to name names in the industry, but you've seen some people chase trends and you've seen some people approach things with a forever mindset. And there's no situation like in life where chasing trends is the right thing to do. People that chase the NFT trend and then left as soon as liquidity disappeared, they made the wrong decision because now NFTs are back. And they're only going to continue to be back. And it would have been better to just build in the space the whole time. And you see people that have been building the bear market. Forget about us. Other people that have been building in the bear market. Spencer Ventures. Ever heard of it? That was a good thing to launch during the bear market. Buy a bunch of Pudgy Penguins during the bear market. Buy a bunch of Bodagos during the bear market. Look where we're at now. There's talented creators. This guy, this kid, Sam Stefanina, launching that gaming show during the bear market. Hantau, Jonah, Finn, all those guys rocking during the bear market. Finn joining Sky Mavis with Ron at its all-time low.
What does that have to do with exchanges listing NFTs?
It has to do with, you just didn't listen at all is the thing. You just didn't listen to anything that I said. Anyway, what I was saying.
Long-term mindset. I did hear that.
You heard that line, that one line. Okay.
No, I heard the rest of it.
The one line. Well, let me put it this way. I wouldn't expect Gemini to be any sort of significant anything in the exchange game ever again. I would expect Coinbase, and I've been saying it on this show, don't be surprised if Robinhood becomes a significant player because now they actually have a proper crypto exchange where you can withdraw your stuff. Don't be surprised. They're really good at user interface. I'm just telling you. They're really good at user interface. Don't be surprised if somehow it comes in. Fractional NFT stuff is going to be really relevant. And I know if Spencer was here, he would talk about Flooring Protocol, and obviously we're coming off of a hack of Flooring Protocol. Hope everything, you know, goes well with Flooring Protocol. But there is something to some sort of proper fractionalization of NFTs, like without a doubt. Like if I want to just plow money into the Bored Ape ecosystem, but I can't afford a Bored Ape, like there is something to that, and that is going to come. Anyway, I'll stop there. I think we should talk about meme coins. Dog Whiff Hat is doing quite well right now. Am I correct? Dog Whiff Hat is having a run?
It's cruising, man. Dog Whiff Hat is absolutely sending. There's also an ETH one that launched that's Vitalik's cat, Heruleum or something like that, that hit 10 million yesterday. It seems like the founder animal coin, Meta is currently running. But dude, something about dog with hat is just fun. I was saying on my show this morning, it's a good meme, just a dog with a hat. Like, there's not much else to it. And it seems like in this market, that's all that really matters. If you have good memes, you can, memes rule the cycle and will continue to do so. Like, look at this thing. Dog with a hat.
I mean, I just love how someone figured out throw a hat on the dog. It'll work. Literally, put a hat on him. I mean, I love the internet, man. I really love, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just listening, we're looking at a dog whiff coin. I don't know who the hell this is, some Twitter account, threw a Rough Racing, which is a Bodago's trait hat on the dog from Dog Whiff Hat, and then separately threw the hat. What kind of, what would you call this kind of hat, Easy?
A knit cap.
Threw a knit cap on the Bodago. So we're seeing a lot of exchange. Hat wearing dogs. Yes. I mean, clearly there are hats in the Bodago's collection. There are dogs with hats in the Bodago's collection. Love to see it. Nick, do you have exposure to dog with hat?
Yes.
Wow.
I had $1,000.
WIF, right?
Oh, yeah. Whiff. Yes, Whiff. Sam. It has to be with the F. So there was a coin. I think it was CoinDesk or Cointelegraph that dropped the article and they called it dog with hat, T-I-T-H, which was just like a generational fumble. Like if they said whiff, I would have been so much more bullish.
So I don't have a lot of it. I had bought like $1,000 over the weekend, basically, or on Friday night, I think. Yeah, it was Friday night. I bought $1,000. I'm not up significantly. It went down. I sold half of it because I was just like, this is ridiculous. I said you couldn't talk me out of my Solana, but here I am. So I sold half of it, but I was like, I'm not getting rid of the other half. Like, let it run. Like, let this bad boy fly. I'm looking for a 10X here. If we're like, there has to be at some point another bonk the same way that, you know, they're saying dog with coin is to bonk.
Dog at, with hat.
Sorry, dog. I'm looking at the dog with coin account. Sorry. My apologies. Dog with hat is to bonk as Bored Apes are to CryptoPunks. You know, that's what they're saying right now. And so, I'm interested in the whiff one. I just thought it was a funny picture too. And I'm like, you know, it's sometimes that simple.
I'm hearing rumors that Gary Gensler has the dog whiff hat ETF, you know, proposal on his desk. It's something that he's evaluating right now. One of my friends that was over, I couldn't believe it, that came over yesterday for the little get together. He bought Bonk on Coinbase. Like, you know how Bonk just got listed on Coinbase? He's like, yeah, I bought $100 in case it pumps. I'm like, this is just wild. Like, do you know what I mean? Cause in my head, I was like, who's buying Bonk on Coinbase? Like everybody buys it, you know, on like a DEX. And then my friend that's over my house is like, yeah, I saw it listed on Coinbase, saw that it was a dog, bought $100 worth, dude, just in case.
Dude, when people, whenever I onboard people into the space, I don't start with them having a wallet. I say, do you have Coinbase? And oftentimes they don't. And I'm just like, all right, start there. And most of them, like for context, they're not coming in and dropping $100,000. They're not coming in and dropping $10,000. The average person that I'm speaking to that's doing this is putting in like $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. And they're just not aping in a significant way. And a lot of people that I know, I had a buddy that was like, I don't know, maybe like this guy's worth millions of dollars, has a business that he makes $40 million a year off of, and he owns the whole thing. And he was like, yo, can you manage a crypto portfolio for me? And I'm like, yeah, how many millions you want to put into it, basically? Cause I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, I was thinking like 10, 20 grand, something like that. And I'm like, I'm not managing your 10 grand, dude. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like this was like years ago. And I just remember like him saying this. He's like, yo, I want to be trading alongside you. And I'm like, dude, I don't have time. Like, I don't have time to tell someone who's moving a couple $1,000 in it. Like, it doesn't make sense. And I told him this time, I was like, dude, just buy Solana. I told everyone, just buy Solana. That was basically the main move. Because
the real move is the real move is to tell them to just buy Bitcoin. In all seriousness. Yeah, because that's like the safe thing, right? There is risk with Solana. You just don't like see it because you're in the throes of it. The move to someone that literally knows nothing, that's never going to look at it, is to buy. Pio, you guys can smile and smirk. What are we talking about here?
Looking for the hot tip. He's not looking for an instructional guide. Okay. Like, and it's not fun, Pio, to just buy the thing that everyone knows.
Is this fun or is this a long-term investment?
It's fun. That's literally what people want to feel excited about the thing that they're buying. Like they had some inside information. I'm just telling
you, there's a lot to be excited about with Bitcoin.
Financial advisor industry even exists. Like it's because
they're ripping people off.
No, people want the alpha. They want the edge. They're looking for that thing and they want to feel like they're participating in something that the vast majority of people aren't participating in. So when you go grandpa and say, hey, buy Bitcoin, no one is interested in hearing that story. Like they're just not interested in it.
Well, those people are going to be broke forever. Go ahead, Signal. Literally, they're going to be broke forever.
But like, Pio, like I actually agree with Nick on this point, because I remember like at the heat of 2021 when I had a bunch of friends that are all in banking. They've all got their bonuses and they're all like, right, I want to get into this. You're into this. What should I buy? All they wanted to be able to do was just take however much of their bonus, throw it into like coins and be able to look at their phone and see, is it red or is it green? And they were not interested in buying Bitcoin. These guys just want to be in the most degen stuff that's going to go up and down. But because they're at work, they don't have time to be looking at all this stuff. And they just need to know, what do I buy on Kraken? What do I buy on Coinbase? And I'm just willing to throw, you know, however X much of their bonus on it. And Bitcoin is not what they want. They did not want to touch that.
2017 was solidified that position. I remember having chats with everyone. They're like, what's the next one? Everyone's looking for the next thing. That is what the meme coin game is. So like, I understand what you're saying, Pio, but no one wants to hear it. Like that's
And that's why they'll never be rich. And I'm not trying to be a dick. And I know everyone's going to be like, Pio's a dick because he's saying that. You'll never be rich because you can't figure out how to plow all your money into Bitcoin over time and have more Bitcoin than everybody else. That's the thing. Go buy meme coins. I have an ass load of Solana. I have ass load of it. But I'm just telling you, this is why people, you can say it's disrespectful, but it's also just true that at the end of the day, yes, no, it is.
Here's why it's false. There's someone, Pio, out there. Your statement is like 100%. If they had just bought Bitcoin, they'd end up richer. But that's not 100% of the situation.
Sure, they hit some meme coins
and made a bunch of money, and they're dancing on the grave that's called your Bitcoin account and saying, "What a loser!
My account.
I just bought a $20 million mansion with all the money I made on Bonk." And this guy, Pio, has got some like chump change sitting in Bitcoin. Have fun with that.
Chump change. Chump change.
You can't buy a $20 million house.
No, I can't buy a $20 million house. That'd be cool.
That's what the bonk.
I want to meet the $20 million bonk guy. This guy sounds pretty cool. He's got $20 million worth of bonk. That's definitely cool. Anyway, on the meme coin side, which I do want to continue, I literally want to continue to talk about this. So we got Dog with Hat doing quite well. The volumes on the Bitcoin side, actually, in all seriousness, seem to be good. On the shitcoin side, which is making toxic Bitcoin maximalists insanely angry because they'll never touch this stuff with a 10-foot pole. Then other people are coming in on the Bitcoin chain and getting rich off of things that aren't Bitcoin. So is it OXBT came back? What else is happening over here, Easy?
I mean, OXBT bounced back. It's all BRC20s. You obviously have things. I think it's Gate.io and OKX, which are driving a lot of liquidity from the East into BRC20s and making it way easier for people to buy them and participate, which is like a big reason for that run. It's also just like Ordinals kind of went quiet for a while, and it was now just like once again in the fold, especially with all these other blockchains doing inscriptions, Solana, AVAX, Arbitrum. Arbitrum literally shut down because of it, which is like crazy. And now you're just seeing a lot
that
of traction.
Crazy.
Yeah, it shut down for like 70 minutes. And sure enough, like Solana would have gotten absolutely torched for it. But hey, just saying. So another chain shuts down and people are like, oh, it's because of the high use. It's like, yeah, where have we seen that before? But no, it's largely just like people believing Ordinals are going to continue to have a future, which I do agree with. And now just kind of coming back to it. I mean, dude, Bitcoin's led volume for so long now on the back of BRC20s, like almost a month straight. So it's pretty crazy to watch happen right now and just see the renewed interest in shitcoins on Bitcoin. And that seems to be like a lot of group chats. I mean, a lot of people who are actively trading are like, yeah, I'm only looking at BRC20s and CBR20s, I think is what the other one is. There's like a new protocol that's popped up and gotten people a lot of traction right now for shitcoins on Bitcoin.
Pretty wild. Would have never seen it coming. What about Pepe? Where is Pepe at in all this?
It's an ETH coin, man. People are over ETH. ETH is so last year. Like, ETH is so last year. Like,
you know, you're such a boomer. What are you doing talking about Pepe?
Is it really like that?
It has been dead. I have $2,000 of Pepe. That shit has not gone anywhere. It's kind of become a stable coin, to be completely honest. It's
just like ETH shit coins, dude. So last year. Like, dude, grow up.
To be fair, that's what's happening. Why trade the ETH shitcoins when you can go on Solana and not pay any gas, like, and still have the same liquidity and move quickly? That's the thing, for sure. So, I mean, the transition over to Solana is so interesting, and it's also crazy seeing the timeline about being like, well, just wait for the ETH pump. Look, I own Ethereum, and I would love nothing more than Ethereum to pump. But I also think that it's just it's interesting seeing all the ETH people in what can only be described as somewhat of a cope state, because they're just like, what's going on? All this stuff is migrating to Solana. What's interesting about everything migrating to Solana is that, like, to Sam's point, maybe we actually have all that we're seeing is money move in another direction at this point, but it's the same money that was already on ETH. And so if we're seeing new wallets on Solana, because not all the ETH people had moved over to Solana, but I don't know if the whole ecosystem has grown at all during this initial pump, and which makes me just,
according to NFT Stats, it hasn't grown in 26 weeks.
Yeah. On the ETH side.
That's unique. Oh, sorry, I'll throw in, I mean, that's like unique buyer wallets on the ETH side. One of the most depressing things that I've tweeted before, I tweeted a survey and I asked my followers, I said, when did you buy your first NFT? And this was like a month ago. And it was something like 2% that bought their first NFT in 2023 and like 15% that bought it in 2022. And everybody else was 2021 or earlier. Like, everybody was part of the bull market in 2021. Everybody is basically just waiting for that to come back, but there are so few people being onboarded. You know, like I said, 2% of the followers, and it's not just my followers, other people retweeted it. That, like, to me, that's just like, you would think that over time, you know, some people would be like, oh, there's something interesting in digital collectibles, I want to be part of that. But it's literally these surveys just suggest to me that it's so many people from 18 months ago who are, you know, we all know how fun that was, how good that was, how lucrative that was. And like, those are the people that have stuck around. That's like a super negative thing to say. But I mean, that was just the result of that. I'd be curious if you guys ran it, what your followers would, how they'd answer that question.
It's probably going to be the same. I mean, I'm not getting much follower growth at the moment, but also that's because we haven't been focused on the area where the growth actually happens, which is the video content. When we do wild shit, like the rap video, for example, I got text messages from normies who actually like see that sort of stuff. But when we do anything else, like when we talk NFTs, nobody gives a shit about that. I mean, that's just like, other than the main NFT people who've been around for a long time. And so that's also why, like, the more that we like focus on this space, the more that we're just increasingly convinced that it's like, nah, you got to go bigger. You got to go to the broader audience and, don't sell them NFTs. Just get them get them entertained, get them interested, get them engaged, and then eventually some of them come on. And we'll just have to wait till this impending bull market. One thing, you know, the conversation around. I was looking up Supercycle this weekend because everyone talks about the Bitcoin Supercycle, and that's a phrase that's not new. Instead, it's like just this like theoretical thing when all of the normies are going to suddenly be onboarded into crypto was kind of the general sort of overview of what that meant. And I don't know what the catalyst is, frankly, that other than I understand there's the halving cycle and everything else associated with that, and price go up is the main thing. But I also think a lot of the people that maybe bought those coins and are now trickling back in are doing the exact same thing, but they haven't trickled over to their own custodied wallets. They're not trading NFTs. And I don't know what the catalyst is for that to drive them over. I'm not saying that it won't happen, but I still don't know like what the transition is that's going to drive all that at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm trying not to like go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it also just feels like ETH is just having a like a little bit of a delay. We just saw recently what happened when Blast asked everybody to stake. Like money just appeared out of thin air and you had people deploying like hundreds of ETH just to stake in that contract. So the money in ETH just feels like it's very much, I would say the deep money, the whale money in ETH just feels like it's sitting on the sides. And when, for example, there's an airdrop next year coming from Blast, you're going to see that money being made. And then, well, where does that money get redeployed? I think like someone like OSF is like a really interesting case study. Like they made their money with apes. Then where did he deploy it? He deployed in many different places, but you saw a huge amount of his buys were grails on Ethereum. And it just feels as if when people have made their money, they come back to ETH to put it in a sort of a safe place into the Grail art or into the Grail PFPs or the Nakamoto cards. And then they have their trading bag, which they go and deploy on other chains. So I don't think like ETH is dead. I just think it's something that's having a delay and we'll see a revival in cycles. And those cycles might become longer, but it'll still be a place where people will go back to buy assets, which they want to keep safe and long-term and have a long-term view that they appreciate over time. And then the Solana side and maybe these other chains are just your day-to-day trading. Because you don't really see people go over to Solana and just buy grails in the same way that you see them do on ETH.
Totally different ecosystem.
Last night on Bodago's, just throwing it out there.
Just saying. Real quick signal, and we're going to wrap after this, but real quick. So you brought up OSF. I was about to bring up OSF as well. If you talk to OSF, if you talk to Elio Trades, or at least recently with Elio Trades, I haven't talked to him in like a couple of weeks. And if you talk to some of the other whales in the space, look, the reality is a lot of them aren't actually, dumping money into NFTs right now. And the actual reality is that NFTs are orders of magnitude more risky than the fungible tokens, the liquid tokens. They just are. It's kind of wild when you think about it. And the wild thing is how much people trade NFTs, myself included, last cycle. When I look at how exposed I was to the NFT ecosystem at any given time, it is insane. Because like right now, just accumulating Solana, accumulating whatever fungible token, AVAX, Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever tokens you are interested in, it just feels like a guaranteed, you know, eventual good investment, like if you can hold it for like a year or something. Whereas with NFTs, there's just so much risk involved because the underlying asset could outshine the NFT. So you would have been better off being in the underlying asset. I think that Ethereum is going to go up. I think that you're crazy if you think that Ethereum isn't going to go up. I think that Solana is going to outperform it. I think AVAX is probably going to outperform it. And I think that there are going to be notable NFTs on Ethereum that do migrate to other chains, probably specifically Solana. I think what Signal brought up regarding the fine art side of the space, that stuff's going to be on Ethereum for the foreseeable future. And the only way I think that that could change is I think that people would wrap it and put it on Bitcoin. But that's such a, like, that would take years. That would literally take years. And ETH people don't want to do that. That would be like this crazy white flag of defeat. So we'll see how everything shakes out with ETH. I don't think that there's going to be high frequency meme coin and Solana trading, but I think like on the art block side and these fine art pieces, I think that's going to happen. But I also think that the NFT stuff hasn't even kicked off yet. I mean, we basically just pumped here because of the ETF on the Bitcoin side, which is like an outlier in this cycle. And the Bitcoin halving isn't even come. And I could see a situation where we cool off before the halving and people say the top is in, blah, blah, blah. And then we kind of restart. But go ahead, Nick.
Did we miss the second thing about the tweet that we got going on here with Shrapnel?
Definitely. Definitely. So let's go in on that. So ladies and gentlemen, to celebrate Gordon Gonner's entry into the Solana ecosystem, we are running a super fun activation for Bodagos. If you own a Bodago, comment woof. So, exclamation point woof and a picture of your Bodago in the next 24 hours. And Shrapnel is going to give you a light extraction pack. Which are worth $20 each for free. So this is going to give you early access for the highly anticipated game, weekly gear drops, and more benefits, which haven't been shared yet. Well, Nick, Clemente, forgive me. This isn't written right the right way. It's not a guaranteed win, obviously, right?
No, I think it's 100% of them. So I'll get these. It's $20 to everybody, basically.
Wow.
And the thing I was going to say is, when you said just comment, don't comment on this space. Comment right on the tweet that's pinned here, which is on the Bodagos account. So go to the Bodagos account. There's a tweet there, which specifies the partnership with Shrapnel. So anybody who posts the comment that has their Bodago, and a picture of the Bodago will receive the $20. I have a question, Clemente. Well, I'm not even going to say it. I'll say it offline.
No, ask it right now, Nick. I'm done with that. No dilly-dallying, no tiptoeing. Ask the question.
Well, there's an obvious question here.
And?
What's the obvious question?
I think we all know what the thing is.
It's not that obvious if I'm asking you what it is, Nick.
I don't know what it is.
That's two of the five people. That's three, 60%.
There's an easy way to get the $20 for free.
Oh, shit.
I didn't want to make it only Bodago's PFPs. I wanted just anyone to be able to get involved, but yeah.
Okay. Well, so if you want $20,
you can post my PFP.
A picture of a Bodago with the comment woof. And so we're just giving it to everybody, apparently.
Obviously, there will be some sort of screening process. Clemente's all over that. Anyway, big shout out to our partners at Shrapnel. If you want to buy a higher tiered pack, which gives you more benefits, go to the nifty.com/Shrapnel. That's thenifty.com/Shrapnel, S-H-R-A-P-N-E-L. If you don't know, Shrapnel is an upcoming extraction-based first-person shooter that is dropping in the AVAX ecosystem. Love to see it. The founders of Shrapnel come from video games like Halo and others, like AAA level games. Shrapnel raised a bunch of funding. We're really excited to be partnering with Shrapnel, let me tell you. And I just can't wait for the thing to be fully playable and for people to just spaz out over playing Shrapnel. So anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, if it's your first time listening, welcome. Thank you for listening. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. You can subscribe on YouTube if you want the video feed. The video feed's also shared on X platform, you know, on Twitter. The Twitter spaces, I know a lot of you are listening there. So shout out to everybody in the Twitter audience. If you want to share the show with somebody outside of Twitter, or if you want to listen to it with an easy to use user interface on the go, then check it out on Apple or Spotify podcasts. Wherever you get your podcast, we upload it there within an hour or two of the show finishing every single day. And we've been doing this show for over 2 years, ladies and gentlemen. Over 2 years, 5 days a week, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And guess what? We're not stopping. So we will see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Thank